Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Father, I want to thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word, which brings us life, and thank you that as we dig into scripture this evening and just allow it to take root in our hearts, we're going to experience so much fruitfulness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. So, we've been doing a series entitled Rain and Life, and it was intended to be 3 weeks long, and we're on week 13. But I trust that it's been a blessing to you, and if it has, and if God's used it in some way to minister to you or anything like that, then you know, just let us know so that you know it's something we can share with other people, or we can get you to share with other people, with the church. It would be really encouraging for people just to see what it's done for you. And that's the purpose of a testimony, is to encourage one another. But this evening, we're not concluding the armor yet. We've been going through the armor of God, but we're coming to the end of the armor of God. And this week, we're looking at the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit, as I was meditating on it and everything, it was really just a blessing to me, and I know it's going to bless you, so join us on, if you're on you, what is it called? YouVersion on your phone. You can look for live, what does it say? Live events, and then you can see Grace Life there, and you can follow the scriptures there. All the scriptures will be up on the screen. Okay, obviously don't use YouVersion so much. But the first scripture is from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, and then 17, the last part. It says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Okay, so now what we've seen out of this so far is we've taken out that we need, if we want to be able to stand against persecution, stand against the attacks of the enemy, stand no matter what do we need to do? We need to have the whole armor of God, not just part of the armor of God. And one of the pictures that I, mind pictures that I drew for you, was of a lot of Christians, what they do is they've got the helmets of salvation on, but they're not applying the breastplate of righteousness or taking advantage of the belt of truth or anything else. So it's as if they've just got a helmet of salvation on, they're running around naked. Okay, you've got to use the whole armor of God in order to defeat the enemy, in order to have victory. Okay, so that's the first thing. Use all the armor, don't just use some of it. Then the second part it says there is, use the whole armor of God. And so if you think about it, you know, the whole armor of God, it's God's armor, not yours. And that's really awesome. If you think about it, if you're using God's armor, it means that it's perfect. You know, it's a breastplate of righteousness, meaning it's His righteousness, not your righteousness. If you were trusting in your righteousness to defend your heart and protect your life, then you'd fail. But it's God's righteousness, okay? So that's really awesome. It's His armor. And you know, the significance of that is that when the enemy comes to attack, if you're wearing, you are as a believer wearing God's armor, but if you're applying it, if you're appropriating it, or however you want to put it, then the enemy sees God. He doesn't see you. Because you've got your armor on. And from a distance, even up close, you know, it's God's armor, and He recognizes God there. He doesn't recognize you. So that's really something. So take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The whole purpose of this series and this the armor of God specifically is that you'd be able to stand through anything. You know, in this life you will have trouble, Jesus said. And so that means troubles are going to come, hardships are going to come, but God wants you to be able to stand, and you don't have to flounder around or fall apart like a cheap Glow Mail special. You can stand strong and stand firm and get through. Amen? Okay, so then it says, and take up, it says the shield of faith, that's the dot, dot, dot part. And then it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we're looking at how we need to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, a lot of grace people, I'm a grace person, amen? You're a grace person, hopefully too. But if you're a Christian, you are a grace person, even if you don't realize it. A lot of grace people fall into a trap here and go, well, it's there's nothing for me to do. I must just sit back and chill. You know, there's nothing for me to do at all. But this scripture clearly says, take up the shield of faith and take up the sword of the Spirit. You've got to take up the sword of the Spirit. Otherwise, it's going to do nothing for you. Now, it says that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Okay, so here's one of my Bibles. Can you just hold it up for me like that so we can see it? So here's the Bible. Pretend it's on my coffee table at home. It's got some coffee rings on. It's got some dust on it and everything. You know, no one's coming to visit, so I don't have to clean it or pick it up. And I hardly ever pick it up. So I'm not taking up the sword of the Spirit, but it's just there, right? It's doing no good sitting there on the table. I mean, the words in this book are powerful, but as long as it's like this, I mean, it's not doing anything. You've got to take this word and put it in your heart, and you've got to exercise it in order for it to do anything for you. Okay? And that's really important. You can, you know, if a demon attacks you, you can throw the Bible at them. They'll laugh at you. They may know this better than you do. Okay? You got to exercise what's inside of you. You've got to speak out what's inside of you. Okay? So, we've got to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay, so the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. As I was thinking about this, it really blessed me to realize that of all the armor of God, you've got the breastplate of righteousness, you've got the helmet of salvation, you've got the belt of truth, you've got the shoes, you've got all this stuff, the shield of faith. The sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon. It's the only offensive part of the armor. Everything else is for protection, to defend. And yes, the sword of the Spirit protects me because I'm fighting you off, but it's also something that I use to advance with and attack people trying to attack me, okay, or attack the enemy, okay? So, you get what I mean? It's like it's the only weapon which we've got to advance with, to attack with, okay? Everything else is defensive, not offensive. And so, it's really, like, if you want to be an advancing Christian, or a believer who's moving forward in their life with God, then you've got to know the Word. You've got to use the Word. It's not going to help you if you don't. Okay? So that's really important. Then the other thing which really blessed me when I was thinking about it was, if you think about it, the armor has nothing. There's nothing on the back. There's nothing on the back. Okay? Henry, I can see you. So come up here, please. Who's sitting behind you? This is Jacques. Jacques, come up here too. Okay, so now pretend that Henry and Jacques are both dressed in armor. Okay, now turn around so we can see your backs. Who's the biggest? No, I'm joking. Turn around. Almost the same height, which is perfect for the illustration. Now, the enemy is pretty much a coward. He's a loser. He doesn't really care about fighting nice or pretty, right? He just wants to fight you and get at you. So these guys are fighting and they're advancing like this, and there's nothing on their backs. Okay, now first of all, I believe this reveals that there's no retreat in the Christian life. You never retreat in the Christian life. You're only advancing. If you turn around and start running in the opposite direction, you're open game for the enemy. He can attack you. He can throw darts at you and it can hit you in the back. But, I mean, yeah, what's stopping the enemy from coming around very deviously and wanting to shoot arrows in your back while you're moving forward? Sometimes he won't do it. Sometimes he'll just send your best friend to do it. That's called betrayal. Okay, now stand back to back. This is God's intention with the armor. It's not that you're a lone Christian just going off and doing your own thing, a lone ranger. Lone rangers get shot in the back. Okay, we can coin that phrase here as a Grace Life phrase which started here. I've never heard that before. Okay, lone rangers get shot in the back because there's no armor on the back. But now these guys can fight for themselves and for each other because they're in unity and they've got each other's backs. And so God's heart for you and for me is that within community, within the family, the body of Christ, within church, we're able to stand together and be more effective. And so maybe you're fighting some battles by yourself right now. The reason why you're losing is because you're fighting by yourself. And maybe God wants you to get connected to someone or to a spiritual family where you're able to stand together, because when you stand together, someone's got your back. Okay, someone's got your back. They're looking out for your interests. Thanks, guys. You can go and have a seat. Let's give them a hand. Great models for us this evening. There was a pun there. So, the sword of the Spirit is something which we need to take up. We need to use, but we need to use it together, not on each other. Okay, don't use scripture on each other and start beating each other and start attacking each other. You need to be standing together and moving forward together. Okay. Now, when we're speaking about the Word, it's important for us to realize that we're not just talking about a book with words in it. Okay, when we talk about the Bible or God's Word, we're not just talking about this. This is God's Word, right? It is God's Word, just in case you didn't know. But we're not just talking about this. We're talking about something, you know, Jesus is known as the living Word. And so we're talking about the living Word, but we're also talking about the word in the Greek is a rhema in this case. And so what we're talking about is a spoken word appropriate to your situation. That's what rhema is. It's a revelation word. Okay, it's a word that comes appropriate for your specific situation. And so, you know, you can look at it like this and say, you know, let's say the enemy attacks you and says, you know, you're completely unrighteous. You're not good enough. Okay, how should you respond to that if you're using the sword of the Spirit? How do you respond? Now I've got my dagger. You saw my sword earlier. This is the smaller one. Okay, now how am I going to fight if he says, you know, you're unrighteous, you're good for nothing, God doesn't accept you? I pull out Philippians and I say to him, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. That's shooting in the wrong direction. You're in the wrong game there, my friend. You know, it's like the you're not paying attention. Just throwing out any scripture is not going to help you. It's got to be an appropriate word for your situation. And so whatever you're facing, you need to get into the Word and you need to dig out promises from God that apply to your situation, and then you need to use them. Jesus did it, and we're going to look at what he did in a moment there. But we're talking about using the Word for your situation appropriately. But also, sometimes, I mean, people know a lot of Word and it profits them diddly squat, nothing. It doesn't help them whatsoever. Why? Because they didn't mix it with faith. The next scripture, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2 says, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those that heard it. And so you could have gone to seminary, you could have gone to Bible school, you can know the Bible in the Greek and the Hebrew, you can know it backwards. It's not going to help you unless you mix it with faith. Unless you put faith in that word. You can know all the scriptures about how to receive salvation, all about healing, but unless you put your faith in that, unless you choose to believe it, it's not going to help you. You could read an advert which says tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, such and your favorite store is going to have a 90% off sale. And unless you actually believe that and put faith in it, that your faith leads to action and you go to that store, it's going to profit you nothing. You've got to put, your faith leads to action. So you've got to put action to what you believe. Otherwise, you actually don't really believe it. And I know some people don't like this, but the reality is that even the book of James says, even the demons believe and shudder. So the demons believe that God is, they believe that he is Jesus is Lord, and they shake at that. But, you know, the difference is they haven't put faith in that. There's no belief there. So be more than a demon. Tell your neighbor, be more than a demon. Be more than a demon and just like believing that God exists. You've got to put faith in it and so that it profits you. It's got to lead to action. Okay? So, you know, Jesus is just been baptized and now he's going through the wilderness and the enemy is tempting him. He's going through a spiritual battle, if you want to put it like this. Okay? And oftentimes, spiritual battles will result in physical experiences. And so this is what Jesus was experiencing as well. He was also on a fast, and so he wasn't eating, and so he had that working against him too. In that, ask any guy what he's like when he's hungry. Like really hungry. I'm sure Jesus was the same. So, well, not as bad as us. He wasn't bad, he was good. Let's just leave it there. So, Luke chapter 4 verse 4, Jesus answered the devil saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So the devil comes and says, since you're hungry, you're the son of God, take these rocks, turn them to bread. Where's the sin in that? There's no sin in turning rocks to bread. There's no, the 11th commandment isn't, thou shalt not turn bread into stone into bread. Okay, there's nothing like that. So there's nothing wrong with it, but it was the enemy tempting Jesus. Okay, and there's all sorts of things we can get out of that, but now what Jesus, how he deals with the enemy's temptation here, is he responds, it is written. So now, he's picking up his sword of the Spirit, let's put the dagger down, he's picking up the sword of the Spirit, and he's saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that that comes from the mouth of God, or however he puts it, every word of God. And so he's responding with an rhema word, an appropriate scripture, because that's a quotation from the Old Testament, an appropriate scripture for his situation. He didn't respond and all of a sudden say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He didn't all of a sudden say, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, he had an appropriate scripture for the situation, and he used it, and it was effective. Okay, so you know, that's just one application of the sword of the Spirit, which we can all take, is that, you know, when you're facing challenges, get appropriate scriptures for that situation, and speak those scriptures out in that situation. Declare that over yourself, over your life, over your situation, and you'll start to see things happen. Amen? But it's also, it's not about knowing and quoting scriptures. The devil can do that. And if you look at the temptation of Jesus, he eventually does that with Jesus. He responds to Jesus, it's also written, and then quote scripture. So it's not enough to just be able to know and quote scripture. You know, you've got to be speaking it out in faith, like we said. You've got to mix it with faith, number one. But also, number two, the word has to be the highest reality for you. It's got to be the highest authority in your life. Now, this isn't for me. This wasn't planned for me to share it, but I'm just going to share it now. For me, you know, when I was picking a spouse, a wife, my criteria, you know, I used to, when I was growing up, have a list. Anyone got a list? Don't put up your hands. You got your list? Christian, number two. And then you, whatever's important for you, you start to list it. And hopefully physical attributes aren't so high on the list. But, you know, I've heard a lot of people having lists. And I used to have a list too. And then, you know, I realized that that was really limiting God and that he knows best. So I tore up the list. And then, you know what was number one on my list? And I only had one point that I wanted. It wasn't even, must be a Christian. It must be, the word must be an authority in her life. Because I was saying, you know what, I'm prepared to marry someone who isn't baptized in water yet, someone who hasn't been to Bible school, someone who hasn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I'm happy to marry someone who doesn't know anything about healing or righteousness and hasn't got a clue who Andrew Womack is. You know, I was really happy for that, but because I was like, I don't know if I'll find someone who knows who Andrew Womack is. So, you know, what all my criteria was that the word must be an authority in her life. So when I bring the word and I say, hey, look, it is written, not saying that she's Satan, but just saying, you know, look what the scripture says about a situation. Let's not say it's written. Hey. Look at what the scripture says. Then she's willing to change because the word is the highest authority in her life. And I got that quality in my wife. She's awesome. And every single time we've had to, you know, look at a situation and measure it up by the word always wins, not her or me. The word always wins. Okay, we won't say who wins more though. but Romans chapter 3 verse 4 says, she's not here to defend herself, so we have to move on. It says, God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar. So in your situation, in your life, God's word and God needs to be true and everything else needs to be a lie. Okay, now, if you think about it with regard to fact and truth, fact can change, truth can't. It's a fact you've got a headache at that time, whenever you have it. But, I mean, you know, I don't, you know, headaches come, headaches go, so it's subject to change. A truth is that a believer is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That doesn't change. You're a believer, you're righteous 24/7. That cannot change. It's fixed. Get the teaching on the breastplate of righteousness. And so, you know, a fact can change, but truth doesn't change. You know, it's a fact maybe that you've got some kind of sickness in your body. The truth is that by his stripes you were healed. It's a truth that you have access to healing. Okay, so you can understand that. And in every situation, it's important that you mature to the place where God's word is number one and what he says goes, and everything else doesn't matter. Okay? Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 from the Amplified Version. For the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, the completeness of a person, and of both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. So, this is showing us, you know, God's given us the sword of the Spirit, which is His Word, and that we can reign in life and fulfill the destiny that He's got for us because we've got the sword of the Spirit, because we've got all the armor, okay? But the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God, if you look at that scripture, I mean, it's living and active. It's not just a book which can collect dust. Yeah, or it's not just a cell phone, which can get neglected or broken or go in the swimming pool. It's living and it's active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. You take the Word of God, you put it in your heart and in your life, and you've got operative, energizing, and effective power inside of you. If you're feeling dead, take the Word of God, put it in your heart, and you've got operative, energizing, and effective power which can flow just in you and revitalize you, energize you. That's awesome. You know, and the sad thing is a lot of believers don't even have a Bible, maybe. You know, if you don't have a Bible and you can't afford one or whatever, then, you know, please come tell the resource table, we'll make a note, we'll buy you a Bible. It's that important. But, I mean, we live in a day and age where you know, we've got a couple of Bibles. Most of them don't ever open for some people. I mean, you may have heard me share the testimony before, but you know, I went to this church once, and this one guy was part of the ministry team up front, and you know, he'd sing and he'd pray and whatever, and I'd go to a prayer meeting, he'd pray, and I became friends with him when we'd talk, and he was just like, I put him up there somewhere. Like this guy's with Jesus up there. He's awesome. Like he just prays and with power and with passion. And you know, I still don't pray like that. the way that he prayed. It's like, wow, this guy's up there with Jesus. You know, he would sweat, you know, and it's just awesome just to see how passionate he was about God. And then the one day we were hanging out and he says to me, God's just spoken to me. And I believed him, so I listened. And he said, God's just told me that I need to get a Bible. I was like, what? He said, God just told me that, you know, up until now, the however many years he'd been born again, I don't know if it was 2 or 6 or I don't remember, but it wasn't long. He said, God's told me that I've had a grace period now and that it's been okay that I haven't been in the Word and all of this, but now it's time for me to start getting into the Word. And so, you know, he and his girlfriend went to go and choose a Bible, and, you know, what was the most important thing about the Bible? Not the translation or anything like to do with what's written there, but you know, it was a nice cover, themed worship Bible, hard cover, nice Bible bag, hardly got open. So many Christians are like that. Got great looking Bibles which we don't know. And that's why we're losing in battles. That's why we're not experiencing victory and reigning in life, is because we're not consistently sowing the Word of God in our hearts and in our lives. The Word of God is a seed that you sow in your life, and you can experience victory because you've sown that seed. Now, we'll get to it later, but I'm going to mention it now because we're here. You know, I've chatted to a couple of people over the past months with regard to the series, and this thing has come up that, you know, they're listening to a lot of teaching, they're enjoying the sermons, they're enjoying the devotionals, they're enjoying everything, they're just taking the resources, you know, the audio CDs, and they're listening to them in their car, they're filling themselves with Word, and they're just experiencing so much fruitfulness in their life. And my biggest caution straight away was, don't stop. Don't stop. You're experiencing fruitfulness now, but don't stop. Why? Because in those moments of glory, it's easy to stop. Hey, I'm riding down, you know, I'm riding the wave of goodness and grace and whatever. Like, it's just awesome. It's effortless. I don't have to dig into the scripture anymore. And so they stop. They maybe start listening to some worship music instead. It's not wrong to listen to worship music, depending on what it is. And some of it's very wrong. I've got another story for that. Let's see if we get there. But now you're going down this road and you stop sowing the Word into your heart, which means that eventually the harvest that you're experiencing is going to come to an end. Then what? Oh God, where are you? I don't know where you are. He's still there, but you think He's not. And you're kind of like feeling down in the dumps. You're not experiencing fruitfulness and all of this. And why? Because you stopped sowing. The Bible says, don't grow weary in doing well, in sowing, because at the right time, you will reap a harvest. So don't stop sowing even in the good times. Keep sowing. Keep listening to scriptures. Keep listening to good teachings and stuff like that. When you feel like, oh, I've had enough of listening to teaching, listen to some more. Maybe just listen to a different teacher or something, you know, just to kind of, a good teacher, just to kind of spice it up a bit. Listen to it in slow-mo or in fast-mo, but don't stop listening to it, okay? The other day I was driving to teach at Bible school, and I was listening to, I saw in the cubbyhole, Martin had put my, a bunch of CDs from her car, and I started flipping through them, and there was a CD that we both have in there, which back in the day, we thought it was amazing. You know, you put it on and the presence of God pitches up, and it's just like, everyone was just like, wow, this is the best CD ever. So I was like, awesome, let me just like, you know, get into the mood for Bible school. Yeah, I put it in, I listened to the first song, skipped it, listened to the second song, skipped it, listened to the third song, skipped it, tried to listen to the fourth song and the fifth song and the whatever. I was like, this stuff is so depressing. I was like, this is terrible. I put Michael Bublé on and I experienced the presence of God. It was awesome. It was awesome. I'm telling you. Yeah, I don't want to tell you what the title of the CD was, lest you love it. But the point is that like it was doing anything but minister faith to me. You know, the guy was singing about faith and this and that, the next thing, and it was just like depressing. Don't listen to that type of stuff. It's not going to do anything for you. So, you know, God's word. By God's word, He created the world. By God's word, He spoke creation into being. And all of this, I mean, it's amazing. You know, by His word, Colossians says, He sustains it all. He holds it together. Okay, God's given us this powerful weapon to use. And like I've said, you know, most Christians are ignorant of it, are unskilled in the word of righteousness. And they've got the swords, but it's more hazard to themselves. You know, because they don't know anything about it. They don't know how to use it. They butcher the scripture, and then they butcher themselves. Now, God's word is in your mouth is powerful. So you've got a powerful weapon, and I want to encourage you, don't neglect it. Okay? You know, how do you grow in grace? Well, it's got to, a part of it has to be the word. You know, lazy Christians, or especially grace people, can be lazy in a sense of, I don't want to even sit and read the Bible. You know, God must just do it for me. And if I say, upset you with this, I'm sorry, but it's the truth. You know, if Adam and Eve had been like a lot of us, they would have died in the Garden of Eden. Because, you know, what did God say to them? Take and eat from any tree, except that one, but take and eat from anything. Go for it. Most of us would have been like, okay, God, feed me. And you're waiting there, you know, God puts the apple there or whatever, and you're like, okay, God, please chew it for me. You know, it's like there's a part for you to do. Just receive the gift that He's freely given you, okay? But, you know, I just want to talk about just how to get the most out of the Word for a moment. Just be practical about this for a moment. I'm taking this from one of the devotionals that I wrote, but I want to talk about how to fill yourself with the Word of God. Because you will never be able to mature as a Christian without being full of the Word. Now, let me put a clause there and say that you can be full of the Word and not be mature. I've known people like that. Okay? And it's important to realize, you know, that there's different aspects to maturity. One of them is community. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. If you are in isolation and don't have relationship and friendship with other people, then your character and you can't be developed and you cannot mature, especially within the body of Christ. And so it's vitally important that you fill yourself with the Word and then you commit to a spiritual family or a local church, a community of believers where you're able to have people challenge you. You can turn the other cheek so that you can choose to respond in love. So that you can say, oh, bless you, brother, instead of, you know, fivefold ministry. You know, if you're in that situation of being tested, then you're able to grow. Okay? Like someone said, the spirit of slap came over me. Yeah? you don't need that. But just knowing the Word doesn't equal Christian maturity, but you cannot be a mature Christian without being full of the Word, without knowing the Word. Because the reality is when you come to an attack, the enemy's really just pushing your buttons, right? How many of you had your buttons pushed by the enemy or anyone else? How many of you, it was the person sitting next to you? I'm joking. You know, we you know, when you squeeze a tube of toothpaste, what comes out? Toothpaste. When we squeeze you, what comes out? It should be Word. Not the F word. It should be Word. Okay, so if you get squeezed because the pressures of life are coming on you and circumstances, the F word shouldn't come out. The word should come out. Amen? Just remember that. Okay, so let's look at Joshua 1 verse 8. How do we fill ourselves with the word of God? This says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to it that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. I'm pretty sure all of us want to be prosperous and experience good success, right? The mms said yes. You know, they want it. You know, we want to experience good success. We want to be prosperous. The key there is that we need to be full of the word. Okay, we need to be meditating on the word night and day. Now, I know, if you read the scripture there, it's up on the screen still. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Okay, so let me just explain that for a moment. It's it obviously, when this was written, it's talking about the first five books of the Bible. But now, thousands of years later, we have a full Bible, a completed Bible. We don't just have five books of the Bible. We have more than that, right? And within our completed Bible, we have the gospel. We have the revelation of Jesus and his finished work, which is awesome. Okay, so it's not just exclusively for the first five books of the Bible. Please don't go meditate on that night and day. You can get some good stuff out of that. But you need to be meditating on the gospel, which is the truth that sets you free. And when you meditate on that, you will start to have good success in everything that you do. Okay? You need to put this word and hide it in your heart. Okay, because when Jesus came, he changed the way of relating to God. When this was written, it was the old way of relating to God. Relating to God based on sacrifices and on holiness and on all of that stuff. But now we're under, you know, Jesus came, he changed absolutely everything. And now we have a new way of relating to God. We're not relating to him based on our works and our holiness and our effort, but we're relating to him based on the finished work of the cross. And that's powerful. Let's read through a couple of verses on that. Hebrews chapter 8 from verse 6. Okay, it says, but now he, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry. Now this is contrasting Old Covenant and New Covenant. You know, Moses and Jesus. Okay, so this automatically says that Jesus' ministry is a more excellent ministry. Say more excellent. It's a more excellent ministry. By how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant. This is a much better covenant than the other one. Okay, the new is better than the old, which was established upon better promises. So it's better covenant, more excellent ministry, better covenant, better promises. For if that the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days have come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. A new covenant. Meaning, hey, there's something new needs to come down here. Okay? Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, and it starts to talk about Egypt, and it starts to talk about the Abrahamic covenant and all of that. It's not talking about that. It's talking about a new covenant. Okay, go down to verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. God says the same thing in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. And that's the basis of the new covenant. The old covenant, you had to bring a sacrifice to kind of cover your sin, you know, for the next year. Cover your sin, kind of appease God, you're okay, whatever the case is. But now, you know, Jesus' blood has dealt with that sin so that it's dealt with. Okay? God isn't relating to you based on sin and what you've done wrong. He's relating to you based on what Jesus has done for you, and have you accepted that? And if you've accepted that, then you're accepted. Okay? Then you're on the winning team. Okay? But this is clearly saying he will remember your sins and your iniquities no more. He doesn't remember what you've done wrong. He doesn't remember if you've had an abortion. He doesn't remember if you've committed murder. If you're a believer, he's completely, like, you're okay. This is where religious people start freaking out. Sin has been dealt with. Okay? Now, if you make a mistake and you sin, obviously it's going to cause problems in our community, in our world. You're going to get, you know, you have to, you might end up suffering because of bad decisions that you make. Okay? But the truth is God still loves you unconditionally, and He still wants to see you blessed. He still wants to see you succeeding. He still wants to be able to help you through whatever you're going through. Okay? His love is without any condition. And it says there, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Sin is missing the mark. It's making a mistake. Iniquity is willful rebellion. And so He's saying, I forgive you when you make a mistake, and I forgive you when you did that thing that you really wanted to do and you knew you shouldn't do, but you did it anyway. Isn't that awesome? That's the God of grace and love that we have. That's powerful. Okay, verse 13, in that He says a new covenant, He has made the first old, so the first is old and the second is new. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. We've got a new covenant. We don't live our lives based on the old. We base it on the new. Amen? So today, this book of the law, which was in Joshua 1:8, can refer to the whole Bible and specifically the gospel. So take the gospel, plant it in your heart, you'll have good success wherever you go. Okay? John chapter 15, verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. You have no success, no fruitfulness, no true fruitfulness apart from Christ. Apart from relationship with God and allowing His life flow to flow through you. You go walk through the vineyard, you never see a branch jump off the vine and go and try and do its own thing and bear fruit. It won't work. A Christian apart from Christ is lifeless. It's just lifeless religion, really. There's no fruit in it. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. This was the verse that we started off the series with. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. You cannot reign in life and experience success without Jesus, without having received the abundance of grace and without having the gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness, not your holiness, not your goodness, not your good works and your best efforts, but receiving His rightness. Okay? That's the only way to reign in life. Knowing Scripture is simply not enough. You have to know Christ, you have to have a relationship with Him, and you need to allow that life to flow through you. Okay? Joshua 1:8, you shall meditate in it day and night. It's got to be something which we're constantly doing, not just on a Sunday. Sadly, most of the church worldwide is just doing what you're doing, and that's it. Most of you who I know that you're not leaving a church. You're listening to teachings in the week, you're studying the Word. There's some kind of other word that you're getting in somewhere apart from Sunday. And that's why you're experiencing success. That's why you're growing. That's why you're experiencing joy and all of this. But, you know, you cannot survive on 1 hour a week. Try eat for 1 hour a week and then don't eat for the rest of the week. See what happens. If you're going to do that, please let me know because I'd love to monitor it and see how you're doing. I'll phone you on Friday. You know, the Word is food for us. You know, if you go a day without your quiet time, a day without spending time with the Lord and studying His Word, you shouldn't feel condemned and feel bad because, oh, God's mad at me because I missed my quiet time. I wonder what's going to go wrong in my life. That's law mentality. We're under grace. He's not judging you based on did you have a quiet time this morning. He's not blessing you based on did you have a quiet time this morning. Okay? It's good to have a quiet time, but and to study the Word and hear from God, but He's not judging you based on that or blessing you based on that. Okay, He's blessing you and judging you based on Jesus and what He did for you. Jesus did pretty good, so you're going to do pretty good, and you're doing pretty good. Okay, but when you go a day without a quiet time or getting Word in you, you should just feel hungry, not condemned. You should feel like, oh, I'm missing out. I really wish I could just dig in. Maybe there's a good reason why you didn't or whatever. At the end of the day, it's priorities. But anyway, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You've got the word of truth, which is your sword, your word, your Bible. And we're encouraged in Scripture to study it, not to read it. By all means, you've got to read it to be able to study it. So read it. Go ahead. But don't make it your aim to, I need to read 3 chapters a day, or I need to read 1 chapter a day, or whatever the case is. Have the freedom that if you're aiming for 3 chapters, if you read 2 verses And the second verse, the Holy Spirit starts to stir something up in you and God starts speaking to you, stop. Camp there. If you camp there for a month, it's okay. Just dig up as much juice from that one scripture as you can and allow God to speak to you. Okay? And we'll look at that in a moment. But this is basically what we're referring to is meditating. Okay? Now, in Eastern cultures and things like that, meditation is emptying yourself and you're kind of getting to that place of I don't know what. But biblical meditation is filling yourself. And you need to be in a place of filling yourself with the Word of God. And what that means is you're reading the scripture, something bounces out at you, you write it down, you've made a note of it, you're putting it in your heart, you're kind of thinking about it continuously throughout the day, you're kind of meditating on it by thinking about it, asking yourself questions like, I wonder why God says this, or I wonder what the implications of it is, I wonder how I can experience this, or, you know, God, please reveal it to me, and you start praying over it, Holy Spirit, reveal to me what this is talking about, there's something in it, or if it's a promise, you're declaring it over you. Thank you, Jesus, that X, Y, and Z, or whatever the scripture is for you. Okay, that's more biblical meditation. That's biblical meditation. Filling yourself with the Word of God, being consumed in your mind with it, that you're thinking about it again and again and again, so that it'll start to produce life, it becomes part of you. Okay, going down to 1 Timothy 4, verse 15, it says, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. I mean, that's powerful. Meditate on these things. Biblical meditation, once again, is filling yourself with the Word of God. Not emptying yourself and trying to get to a place of not thinking at all, but it's thinking. Okay? It's thinking a lot. It's meditating on these things. Giving yourself entirely to them is showing a complete give over, a complete abandonment to it. Like this is the most valuable thing in the world for me right now, and I'm going to pursue it. If you're in a place where you need healing, for example, if you're in a place where you're needing to discover your destiny, you need to find the scriptures that are associated with that need, and you need to be digging in as much as you can until you find. Because Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find. The next verse there says, everyone who seeks finds. So if you really are hungry and you want to find an answer, seek and don't stop seeking. If you haven't found your answer yet, don't stop seeking. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, you will find me, God speaking, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's talking about all your heart, not just part of it. Not in between your series, whatever the series is. It's about a wholehearted devotion of I'm pursuing God and I want the answer, so I'm going to dig in. And then you're just giving everything is just for you about, you're consumed with growing and maturing in the Lord and in the Word. Okay? So, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. What this is saying, let me just mention one thing on meditate. Psalm 1, 2, and 3 from the Message version puts it like this, chewing on Scripture night and day. And so it's like eating. You're taking a Scripture, you're taking a truth that bounces out to you from when you're reading, and you're chewing on it. You think a chew is a repeated action, right? So you're chewing, and you're thinking repeatedly about what that scripture says. And you know that's the only way I get stuff out of scripture, is if I start to think about what does this mean, and you pray over it, and you pray about it. Then God reveals truth to you. It doesn't just happen by accident, okay? But then it says that your progress may be evident to all, okay? And that's really powerful, because it's saying that meditating on God's Word will bring fruitfulness to the degree that those around us will start to see the fruit. Your what does it say? Your progress or your fruitfulness, your maturity may be evident to all. How many of you can see if someone's maturing or not? We can all see it. Sometimes you can't see all of it. Sometimes it's the quiet ones you've got to watch out for. But the point is that this scripture is saying if you meditate on the truths and you allow them to take root in your heart, it should be to the degree where people can see the fruitfulness of it. Okay? If we cannot see the blessing of God in our lives or what the Word's talking about, then we have to ask ourselves if we've truly filled ourselves with the Word of God and meditated on these truths to the degree that we can experience fruitfulness. We probably haven't sown the seed, the Word, deep enough. We haven't allowed it to take root. Okay. Psalm 1, 2 to 3 from the ESV says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Remember, we're not talking about the Ten Commandments. Okay, we're not talking about the Ten Commandments. We're talking about the New Covenant. We're talking about the whole Bible. Okay. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. In all that he does, he prospers. I'm sure that you want to prosper in everything that you do. And if for that to happen, we've got to be meditating on the Word. We've got to be digging in. We've got to be established by streams of living water. Okay? What that means, if we're meditating on the Word and we're filling ourselves with the Word, it means that we will be established by streams of living water, which means we'll never be without refreshing. We will always be refreshed. We will never be thirsty or dry. Now, you know, if it'll be refreshing to our souls and life to our bodies. Now, obviously, if you're feeling down and weary and whatever, we spoke about it the other day, pray in tongues. But the Holy Spirit reminds you of truth, and the truth is the Word. The two go hand in hand. You can't go with one or without one or the other. You need both. Okay? You know, when I pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit often reminds me of truth, of Scripture, and it edifies me and builds me up. It's not just the Spirit, it's the Spirit and the Word, which are working together in my life. Okay, so we need to be digging in and digging deep. Okay, and if you think about it, it's like exercise. Meditation requires discipline to push through. Nobody, you know, anyone remember the first time they ever tried to exercise? The first time. Yeah, you're like, I'm going to get fit. And so you go to the first day for that run, or you go on the first day of gym or whatever. Maybe you feel good the first day. There's a slight maybe because you weren't doing so bad. But the second day you feel terrible. And it's just downhill from there unless you push through, unless you keep going, unless you don't give up. If you give up, don't try again because the second time is worse. You know, it's the same thing with meditation. You need to take the Word and you need to actively and purposefully, relentlessly meditate on it. Think about it. Put it in your heart, and dig and put more in and put more in. It doesn't happen by accident. It's not automatic. If you want fruitfulness, you've got to sow for it. Okay? God loves you. He does. And He's given you all the blessing and all His favor and everything, and it's just waiting for you. It's like it's above your head. It's just waiting for you. And the instructions on how to receive it are here. So you do need to read a little bit, and you do need to study a little bit and dig in a little bit so that you could experience something. You know, a reborn Christian may experience, you know, and people who don't know the Word might experience a lot of fruitfulness without knowing anything, but it doesn't last forever. It doesn't last long because the Word is the only sure way of us having established fruitfulness in our lives. So as you read Scripture, I encourage you to take note of what stands out for you. You don't have to read a chapter even. Just read a few verses. Take something out. What stands out for you? Write it down on a piece of paper. Put it on a note on your phone. You can set reminders on your phone if you didn't know that. I'm sure most of you did know that. On some phones, you can set reminders. You don't have to just use it to remind you when you need to eat or when you need to meet someone for coffee or whatever you need to do. You can put on your phone a reminder that says the Scripture. It's got the Scripture that you stood out for you this morning. And then when it comes up, you can remind yourself about that truth. You know, years back when I first got my iPad, a friend of mine took my iPad without me knowing and put in there a reminder, which was a Scripture. And I just, I don't know, did Marna do this, or I didn't know who it was. And only a year later, I found out it was him. And it still comes up every single day for me. And it's about 3 years now. And it really is just encouraging to remind myself of that truth. And as that comes up, then you can pray about it. Lord, you know, what do you want to reveal to me through the Scripture? And it'll start to produce life in you. You'll start to see fruitfulness come up. Maybe not overnight, because there's no overnight fruitfulness. Amen? But as you consistently just sow and cultivate the seed of the Word of God, which you sow in your heart and in your life, it has to produce fruit. So my encouragement to you this evening is dig into the Word. Don't just read it. Meditate on it. Dig in. Study it. Now, there's lots of free online tools and stuff which you can use to study the Word nowadays. Esword is brilliant. You know, and it's free. And then you're able it's a tool which helps you to be able to dig in deeper. You know, use different translations. Don't just stick with one. Over the series, you would have noticed I'm using different translations. My baseline is King James, the one that Jesus used. But from time to time, I pull in other ones just to be able to show you that, you know, Bible's different versions say things differently to help you understand it a little bit better. Okay? If you're facing a situation where you need healing, prosperity, you need to discover your destiny, if you're scared, if you've got fear in your life, go look for scriptures that deal with that situation that you have. Write them all out. You know, you can go and Google it. Just Google scriptures on fear. Then sift through it because some of them might not be appropriate for your situation. And then you can copy and paste them. I mean, I don't know if you need me to educate you on this, but you can copy and paste them or you can write them out. And I'd encourage you to write them out by hand because it helps you to remember it better. And then you can remind yourself of that continuously. You can stick it up somewhere and remind yourself and just keep reading through them and meditating on it and digging into it. It'll bless you. It'll bless you hugely. It really, really will. It'll start to produce fruit in your life. So, Father, I want to thank you for just your word, which is the sword of the Spirit, which helps us to be able to reign in life. And I just pray for each and every single person that's here this evening, that's listening to this teaching, that they would be inspired and challenged and motivated to rise up, read the Word, study the Word, meditate on the Word, so that they can see the fruit of it in their lives. Thank you, Father, that you know we've got such a powerful gift here, which is in so many of our pockets and so many of our hands, and I thank you that every single one of us is going to start using it, is going to start digging in, is going to start, you know, just receiving from you through the Word. I just feel on my heart right now, there's some of you that you're in a place where you're like, God isn't speaking to me. Just open the Word. He's always speaking to you. You know, often we kind of are wanting a word from God regarding a specific situation, but we haven't got into the Word and already seen what He's already spoken to us. Don't neglect the general word for a specific word. There are specific words for you in the general word. Father, I thank you that we're going to see so much success over the next couple of weeks, so much fruitfulness, as these men and women in this audience tonight are going to rise up, take the word, and just plant it in their hearts. And I thank you that we're going to see so many testimonies. We're going to hear so many testimonies of your goodness just unleashed in people's lives as they've just facilitated it through their study of the Word. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-880-0168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.